Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest talk show. And you know that I'm coming to you live with lots of love and just a little bit of Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Well, I want to say hello to all of my listeners from all around the world and just to thank you so much for joining me today. I want you to know how grateful I am that you're listening today and believe that your life would never be the same again after listening to this show today. Well, indeed, it is a beautiful fall evening here in Atlanta, and for my listeners in the U.S., it is the first day of daylight savings time, so that means that it will be getting darker earlier, and always on that first day, it takes me just a little while to get accustomed to that change. Well, how has your week been? I know that it has been a prosperous week for many of you because I have been reading your emails, and as a matter of fact, I received a very interesting email from one of my listeners in Australia, down under, and I'm going to read to you a portion of that email because I think that it will be a form of encouragement to you to keep you listening, doing, and knowing that your manifestation will come to pass. Well, this listener says, I have been listening and studying the Law of Attraction for about 4 years, and she had been reading every new and old guru, seeking to find out why she was stuck and why she was not manifesting in her life. She realized that she had just been listening instead of doing, and so she had become a little bit frustrated, angry, bitter, and at times she said she was really just upset because she was not manifesting her intentions. But she writes, but today on my way home from work, I was listening to Constance Arnold's latest Think, Believe, and Manifest radio show, and I got a real distinction. Constance guest shared with me the missing piece from my life. You know, I always say to you that sometimes it's just one missing piece of your puzzle. She said that my guest gave her some hidden gems, and what she needed to know was the Law of Attraction is at work in your life every minute of every day about every little thing, and that the Law of Attraction is now. So, she said, it has been worth the continued search and listening after all. And she said she was very grateful. And I want to share that with all of you who may be feeling a little frustrated and impatient about your manifestation because, as I said earlier, all you need is to get that one missing piece of your puzzle and your life will shift and change. So, what I want you to do this week is spend time with truth. Meditate on it and get it in your subconscious and your spirit so that you can know it, and then you can take inspired action. Wasn't that a great email? I was so encouraged when I received it. Well, also, this is the 12th day of my 21-day coaching series on Twitter. Have you been following me? Have those great tips been helping you to move forward? So if you're not already following me, just go on Twitter and follow Constance Arnold for the remaining 9 days of this 21-day coaching series. I know it has really helped me tremendously. I've been getting some emails from some of you saying that you're really implementing some of those coaching tips. Well, coming up next week, I have my mentor, Marsha Weider, who Oprah named as America's Dream Coach and who was featured on the movie Beyond the Secret with Bob Proctor. She is Jack Canfield's personal coach and will be sharing some life-changing information with us next week. But today, if you're ready to take your relationships in all areas to the next level, then get ready because we have the relationship doctor on the air and in the house. I'm going to be opening up the phone lines on the half hour, and you can ask Dr. Jim Goldstein your questions about your relationship. You can call 347-326-9837. Or if you prefer, you can go into the chat room and type in your questions, and I will read it to Dr. Goldstein. So on the half hour, get ready and call and ask Dr. Goldstein your questions. Well, Dr. Jim Goldstein is a speaker, author, and coach, and after working with hundreds of individuals, couples, and family, he realized that there were certain patterns of communication which interfered with the development and maintenance of healthy relationships. So he has developed a process that he's going to share with us today called Powerful Partnerships. It is a transforming way of thinking and doing which would change your relationships no matter how long you may have been feeling stuck or unhappy. The program not only improves how couples and families function, but also has a major impact on leadership, teamwork, and productivity in business. And really what personally intrigued me the most is that Dr. Goldstein has been married, I think, for over 25 years, and he shared with me how this process has really impacted his own wife, his own marriage, and his own wife, where he loves her more intensely, passionately than ever. And he states that you can get back the love that you first felt when you were dating your partner. And he's going to share that process with us today. And I'm just so excited about having him here. Dr. Jim Goldstein, thank you so much, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Hi, Constance. Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
How are you doing today?
Wonderful.
And you're calling from what city?
I'm calling from Rockville, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C.
Well, you know, I'm so glad to have you on. We're just going to get right into it because, as you know, 50% of all people who get married get divorced. And I was reading a very interesting statistic just this week that people who've been married 20 years or longer have the highest percentage of getting the divorce rate. So I want to know, just tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and how did you come to create this program?
Well, I've been fascinated by relationships my whole life. I think Powerful Partnerships is really based on the premise that relationships are what really matter in life. And it's the essence of what it means to be human is to have relationships. And I've always been fascinated by something that could start off so great. Most relationships start off pretty well. If you're attracted to another person or you like them and they seem to like you, and there's this wonderful thing that happens in the beginning where you're just so hopeful and optimistic, and you're really bringing out your best. The other person is bringing out your best, and you seem to be bringing out their best. And I remember how this was in many relationships I've had, and it's always fascinated me by why does that fade? Why does that have to go away? There's something so great about it. And years ago, I used to kind of poo-poo this. I'm like, yeah, infatuation. You know how that is. You don't have any history with the person. What do you expect? Of course you can feel great about them. You haven't dealt with them yet. And I was very sort of somewhat cynical when people were really in love with somebody else. And I thought, nothing like that lasts. And yet, I've really changed my mind about that. I really feel like what you feel in the beginning when you really, really love somebody and you fall in love with them, even though it seems like it's happening to you and you don't even know what you're doing to create it, I think that's the real thing. I really do. I think that's how you're supposed to feel.
Well, I've always believed that, but how do you maintain that? So share with our listeners, what was your relationship like with your wife before you discovered the principles of powerful partnerships?
Well, when I first met my wife, I was crazy about her. I mean, I couldn't get enough of her. She lived in Philadelphia. I lived in Maryland. I used to drive up there 3 hours back, forth on the weekends. Didn't bother me a bit. And I loved being attracted to her. I loved that she was attracted to me. We had a lot of fun together. We laughed a lot. I just wanted her to be happy. Whatever she wanted to do, I wanted to do it, and seemed like vice versa. I was so touched by how considerate she was and so how thoughtful she was of me. And she seemed to think I was terrific, which is always nice to hear.
It is.
It was just a mutual admiration society at first. And I think it's a little easier to do this when you have a long-distance relationship because we just saw each other for the good times, on the weekends. But when we got married, we had never really lived together before. And when we moved in together, you know, sometimes this happens. We were very opposite, which makes for a very strong, you know, physical attraction, but it also makes it sometimes you're opposite in a number of other areas that makes it a little difficult to get along. And what I noticed over time was that I just had a hard time being around her, and she started to have a hard time being around her. I seemed to annoy her, just the very nature of how I was. I'm kind of fidgety, and I make a mess wherever I go, and I never knew that was a problem before, but living with somebody, it was really difficult. And this woman who I thought was terrific started criticizing me and finding a lot of things that I was doing were wrong. It's not that she wasn't accurate, but well, I didn't want to hear it. And so I don't remember making a conscious decision to do this, but we didn't spend as much time together as we used to. And a lot of it had to do with our inability to kind of resolve things in speaking. We noticed that this is what I found, which got me interested in powerful partnerships, is that it isn't so much what do you have to do to generate love and create love. It's that what are you doing that's killing it? What are you actually maybe unconsciously doing that's corroding what you had before? So a lot of this has to do with just being conscious of what are those things that were there in the beginning? How were you being in the beginning that you're no longer being? And what caused that? And I realized after a while that there's a funny thing about relationships, which is that as human beings, there's two very, very strong drives that we have. One is we like to be connected. You really can't be human if you're not connected to somebody else.
Right.
So we're raised by other humans. That's what makes us human. We want to be connected. Everyone wants to connect if they can. And yet at the same time, we want to be free. We want to be independent. We don't want to be dominated. We don't want to be controlled by somebody else. So it puts us in this funny dilemma. Of course, we all want to be in a relationship, but when we get in one, there's this person who's making these demands on us, who has criticisms of us and wants us to change, and we want them to change. And there's sort of an inborn conflict there. So I was wondering, how would it be possible to have this connection and then not lose your freedom? I mean, if you want to be a bachelor, then no one's telling you what to do and what not to do. And that's fine, and there's nothing wrong with that if you want to live alone. You really don't have to consider another person. But if you want to be connected with a person in a committed relationship, you really have to consider them, and they have to consider you. And that's why relationships take a little bit of work.
Right.
It's not as easy as just doing what you want to do when you want to do it. So at a certain point in our relationship, I just realized we were just sort of coexisting together. We got to be very good as parents, and we were spending a lot of time with the kids, and I had great respect for her as a mother and vice versa. She had respect for me as a father, and we were co-parenting beautifully, and I was a good breadwinner, and, you know, all that kind of stuff worked, but it was very, very little intimate time together, very little time spent with each other. And So I realized that it was this thing about, there was this concept that came to me, which is that, what is it about? Why don't I want to be with her? And it was really the issue of force. What I found is that when you're powerful, powerful people behave and speak in a way that those around them never feel forced. They don't use coercion and manipulation. They influence and inspire people around them with vision and self-expression and humor and respect and love. And when people around you want to do what you want, then you're powerful. If you're making them do what you want through guilt, manipulation, whatever, you're not quite as powerful. So
let's talk a little bit about what does it mean to be powerful in a relationship for some of our listeners who may have been married for many years. What does that mean to be powerful in a relationship, and how did you learn how to be powerful in your relationship with your wife, and what is that relationship like now with your wife?
Well, right now it's as good as it's ever been. It's actually better than it's ever been.
And you've been married how many years, Dr. Goldstein?
I beg your pardon, what?
You've been married how many years?
26 years.
26, okay.
Now, I wouldn't say that it was like this the first, say, 5 years, but this is when I learned how to understand what powerful partnerships was. First of all, it's the idea of partnership. You're in a partnership. I believe that you can be in partnership with anyone. And that there's a thing about partnership that what you're saying is, I want what I want, but I don't want to do it over your dead body. I want you to have what you want, and I want to have what I want. And I want to go for a win-win. So it's a willingness on your part to consider the other person, to go for what you both have a vision for, but to really be on the same team and to be very committed to staying on the same team, that it's not okay to just be right. It's not okay to just get your way. So I want, you know, if what I want is not what you want, then I want to go back to the drawing board and come up with a win-win. And I'm committed to doing that. So that's part of what it means to be powerful.
So give me an example of how you're powerful with your wife. I love the example that you shared with me about doing the dishes.
Well, what I found is that in the beginning of my relationship, I just liked pleasing her. Because I liked her when I liked it when she smiled, and I liked when she was happy, and it was fun. And I didn't feel like I had to do it. That was the whole point. I didn't feel like I had to do it. But now, you know, over time I realized once I started to feel like I should do these things, there was kind of a moralistic push there that I ought to and that it's not okay if I don't, then I lost my natural desire to want to please her. So that's all come back. Since I've stopped forcing her, since I've stopped using pressure and coercion and all different types of force, I find that this thing came back to me, which is that I remember this. I used to like making her happy, and she likes making me happy. And the nicest thing is I don't feel like I have to do anything. She doesn't make me feel like I have to do anything anymore. She really released that and released me from that pressure. And once she did, I got back into touch with the fact that, oh, my gosh, I forgot. I love doing stuff for you when I don't have to. I love doing. So I'm very creative that way. Sometimes I know she likes things that are neat, a place for everything and everything in its place. And, of course, that's not my nature. My nature is we'll clean it up later. I just messes wherever I go. So that's okay in a certain area. I mean, I have my office that I keep that way and my workbench down the basement and the garage. And those are my areas. And I know where everything is, but it's kind of a mess. But in the kitchen, it's really important to her that you know, somebody doesn't look like they've been there. And for years, when she tried to tell me that I needed to do this and I had to do this and I left this and there's crumbs here and all stuff like this, it wasn't that she wasn't right. It's just that I was not at all motivated to do what she wanted. I just felt like, If it's after it's this, then it's going to be the next thing. And then the next thing. There's no limit. I couldn't feel like I could please her anyway. And now it's so different. Now, first of all, she catches every single thing that I ever do in the direction of what she wants. And she's so grateful and so appreciative. So I feel very, very appreciated for everything I do. I mean, like 6-7 times a day, she says, I appreciate you for emptying the dishwasher. You might feel like, well, she shouldn't have to appreciate you. That's just something that people do, and they're keeping the household up. But she does appreciate me for emptying the dishwasher. And when I make breakfast in the morning, which is my favorite meal, and I love to cook it, I do this thing that she just gets off on, which is that I make it look like no one's been there. My favorite thing is for her to come downstairs and say, do you want some breakfast? And I'm like, ha! I've already had breakfast, and you haven't, you know, and I made eggs and toast and this and that, you know, and there's no evidence, none, that I've been in the kitchen at all.
So that's a form of love.
It is. It's really love. This is how I express my love to her. And she has ways of expressing her love to me. And it's really, really because we've totally extracted the coercion and the force and the pressure and all of those things that take away your natural desire to please a person. Part of what I found in powerful partnerships is that when you're in a relationship with somebody, you probably want to make them happy, if you can. If you like them at all, even if you just even when you know, when you first meet somebody, Constance, if I just met you and I came to your house and you had coffee, you would probably say to me, would you like some coffee, right?
I would.
Now, what if I said, oh, I would love some? What would you ask me next?
Well, do you want cream in your coffee? Would you like to have sugar in your coffee?
Exactly.
How do you like your coffee?
Now, you see, already you would like me to have what I'd like to have, wouldn't you?
If I said,
I'd like a little cream and three sugars, how would you make it?
Just like you said, because that's what you like.
Because that's what I like, okay? You see, it's only later, after you're married, that what you know, the part, one of the partners is making coffee for the other, and as they start to put the sugar in, they go like, he doesn't need that much sugar. You know,
right.
They put like two in instead of three. But that, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens later. We've lost that thing about, like, I just want to make this person happy.
And so instead of coercion and force, a person would use love, kindness, and consideration with their partner.
Absolutely. And self-expression. I mean, it's not – I read this thing recently that said that the biggest indicator of whether a marriage will break up – well, there's two indicators. One is if they don't talk at all, if they really don't discuss things, that they don't communicate very much at all, it's a pretty good indicator that it's not a good measure for them staying together. All right. So it's not like you need to fight, but you need to have some way of resolving things. Because I read this other thing that said that one of the best predictors of whether an engaged couple will make it as a married couple is how they resolve disagreements. How they handle disagreements. And that's really the hard thing, is that sometimes when you stir stuff up, it just smells worse. It doesn't make it better. And you think you're, you know, in all earnestness, you're trying to get back on the same team, but you just don't know how. And I think that's really a shame, because couples who wish they could make it better, who would like to try to talk things through, they just really don't know how to do that. And
right.
I've learned how to do that. I really can show people how they can express themselves in such a way that does not lead to argument, does not engender debate. That there's really a way to know where you're coming from and state it, even when you're upset, that doesn't escalate things.
Okay,
and if you get good at that, it's just a wonderful thing. You actually can resolve things.
Well, that's great. What role does vision play in the creation of great relationships?
Well, part of what you're holding, I mean, there's an interesting thing about vision. It's good for everything. It's always good to take the highest perspective, to look down the road, to see where you want to go. It's exciting. It's motivating. The idea that you could even plan something ahead, I'd really like it. What would you like to do? Well, down the road, I would really love it if we could get a motorhome and do this. If we could do that, you have a vision of something that you'd like to bring into your life. And we all know from the law of attraction that as you think about that vision and you feel good about it and you can actually see yourself in the motorhome or in the retirement, whatever you want to do, that you're bringing that into your life. You're actually magnetizing that and you're pulling that towards you. And to have a shared vision with somebody else of what you would love, something that they would love and you would love, really moves you in the right direction. When I have couples and I'm coaching them in how to get back on the same team when they've obviously had a bad rift or a disagreement or a row or something, one of the things I tell them to do in the preamble, in the part before they talk, is to say, well, why do you want to have this talk? If it's, well, I want to have this talk because I think you need to understand where I'm coming from, the person's not interested. They don't want to hear that. Or, I have a bone to pick with you. When can we talk? It's like, not interested at all. How about next August?
See, right.
they don't want to hear it because nobody wants to feel like they're going to be criticized or made wrong or something. But if you say to them, I don't like feeling this distant from you. I would like to get back on the same team. And could I just express myself so that I can feel closer to you again? I just want to get over what's bothering me. Something's bothering me. I want to talk about it so I can feel good about you again. You see how you feel differently when I say that?
Yeah, that's a lot different instead of screaming and arguing. So if a couple is really having a difficult time, how can they begin to minimize the effects of strong negative emotions that might have occurred over the years?
Well, one thing they can do, you see, it's an interesting thing. This was told to me a long time ago, but I thought it was very true. You can't promise a person that you'll always love them. Because sometimes you feel love and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel indifference and sometimes you feel absolute enmity towards them. So you can't always promise that you'll love somebody. But you can promise to be loving. That's something you can do. You can be loving. And I spend a lot of my time when I'm in the house with my wife, I'm loving towards her. I know what she likes. I know what makes her happy. I know what I can do to be considerate. And I do loving things. And it reminds me how much I love her, for one thing. And she's very, very grateful for that. She has her eyes open for anything I do in her direction. And so if I bring something up to her, if I carry something for her, if I just remember something that's important to her, she loves it, and I love doing it. So one of the things that you can do, even though it doesn't feel like you want to, you're going, oh, I don't want to do anything for her. I'm mad at her, or I'm mad at him, or he doesn't deserve it, or after he said. But it's actually not in your best interest to hold on to that. Part of the law of attraction is that, you know, whatever you focus on will get larger. So if you focus on your resentments, trust me, they'll get bigger.
Right.
So instead, if you focus on what you could do that would be kind and just be that way, be kind, it has a huge effect. Because that's how you were in the beginning. You almost need to go back to doing the things that you felt like doing when you were first together.
So what can a person do whose partner might not be interested in working on the relationship? Should they be loving, do loving things, and be kind and considerate? Maybe they've been married for 20 years and they're just tired of really just doing everything themselves. What should a person do if one person is not interested in the relationship but they are?
Well, it's an interesting thing. One of the most unique things about powerful partnership is that it's based on not just my observations of adults through years and years of counseling, but it's based on my observations of my small children. During the time when I was studying this stuff, I was thinking, well, who do I know who's powerful? Who do I really think of as powerful? And then I had to admit that the most powerful beings I knew were my two children, and they were only like 4 at the time. I was thinking, how can they be that powerful? But I thought, you know what? They get everything they want. The whole world seems to support them and love them. They don't have to even indicate much and ask much. Everybody wants them to have what they want to have. They're happy most of the time, and they're fully self-expressed. They don't hold back. They don't even care if they're in a department store. If they're upset, you're going to know it. It just comes right out. So I felt like, what is it with these kids that the whole world is just oriented towards pleasing them, and they're hardly doing anything? They just point to something, and somebody's going to bring it to them. And it was even before they had much language. But I realized that there were some basic things. First of all, they were always sort of telling the truth. They weren't stating their opinions and something like that. That's what couples get into. They start thinking their opinions are the truth, and they're not. So they were always saying very simple things. If you look at children, they basically only say 4 kind of things when they're in that age, in that magical age. They're only saying how they feel and what they like and what they don't like and what they want. There's not much else coming out of them. And so I oriented powerful partnership around those 4 avenues because that seems to be where the truth comes out. Now, as we get older, we're told not to express ourselves, and we're chastised for it, and we're ashamed for it. So we don't want to. You see, one of the things I found about my children was that they were absolutely open about they were selfish, and they were also selfless, but they were willing to be selfish if they felt selfish. They were unreasonable, they were demanding, and they were petty, with no apologies, okay? And you feel like, yes, but that's childish. You can't let people be that way. But my experience is adults are still like that.
Absolutely.
They're still petty and selfish and unreasonable and demanding, but they're hiding it and they're suppressing it, and they make it look like, well, no, it's not the money. It's the, it's just the principle of the thing. And you hear all this stuff coming out of people's mouths, but if they were as honest as my children were, they could get over it. So I figured out a way to allow yourself to have these feelings, even if they're ridiculous, to have silly, irrational feelings and demands that are unbelievable that you have no right to ask. But I figured out a way for people to express those demands without making the other person feel bad if they don't give it to them.
And so how can they express those demands without making the other people feel bad? Give me an example of that.
Well, at one point, I remember when I was first, many, many, many years ago, I said to Lauren, what car do you want us to get? We need to get a new car. Do you want to get the Toyota Tercel or the Nissan, whatever, but still the low-end cars? And she says, are you really asking what I want? I said, yeah, which one? You know, she said, I want a Jaguar. And I immediately was like, a Jaguar? I can't afford. She said, well, you don't have to get it for me. I know it's not reasonable, but you really asked, this is what I want. I want the Jaguar XJ6 Vanden Plas edition, pewter with, you know, buckskin seats. I said, well, that's a terrible car. You know, I'm not kidding. That's a terrible mileage and da-da-da-da-da. She said, I didn't say you had to. I'm just saying if you ever like, come into a lot of money and you wonder what would make my day, that would do it.
Right.
And so she got me to see pretty quickly that she was being ridiculous. I said, you know, they're terrible cars for maintenance and breakdowns. The gauges are made by Lucas. He's called the Lord of Darkness. Those gauges, they blank out on you. She said, I don't care. I want you to have two of them, maybe one for parts and one for driving, so we never run out of parts, if that's the way it is. So I could see after a while that she was just absolutely being facetious, but it was also true. If I could afford it, if I did have the money, she would want that. If I didn't, it was okay. And so that double message where you're basically saying, I want what I want, just like a little kid, but I'm not going to be a brat about it, and I'm not going to make you wrong for it. I just want what I want.
Okay.
And so sometimes I start to feel like, oh, I see. That's what you have to do. You ask for what you really want, and then you release the person from having to give it to you.
Oh, that's
you get it?
Good.
So finally I said to her, you mean I can just ask for anything? She said, yeah, you can ask for anything as long as I don't have to give it to you. I said, well, as long as you're not giving it to me, this is really what I want. Lauren, I don't ever want you to interrupt me when I'm on the phone, ever. I mean, I don't care what it is. Your hair could be on fire. Don't interrupt me when I'm on the phone. However, when you're on the phone, I would like to be able to interrupt you at any time. She said, well, that's not going to happen in this lifetime. I said, I didn't say it had to. But if you really know what I want to be able to talk on the phone and not have you interrupt me, and I want you to let me interrupt you good-naturedly. So you could be talking to the president, and I would say, Lauren, and then you say, excuse me, Mr. President. Yes, Jim.
Okay.
You get now, I get that that's absurd, right? There's a certain absurdity in that. Who am I to ask for one thing? It's not fair, right? But fairness is partly what keeps people suppressed, everything having to be fair. I want what I want, and she wants what she wants. And you know what? If you don't feel forced, if you don't feel like you have to do what somebody wants, even if it's ridiculous, you might do it.
Okay. So the keys, once again, are being loving, considerate, and nice.
Right. These are things that you can do. What are you going to do with your time? Be as kind as you can. Right?
Well, if anybody is just joining me, I'm interviewing Dr. Jim Goldstein, and he's talking to us about powerful relationships. And if you have a question, a burning question about your relationship, feel free to call in at 347-326-9837, or you can go in the chat room and type in a question, and I can ask Dr. Goldstein your burning question. So quickly, what role does the law of attraction, how does the law of attraction relate to powerful partnerships? And so if someone is single, how does it relate to attracting that great relationship into their lives?
Well, we talked about vision before. You really do need to envision, what would it be like? What would it feel like if I really had this great relationship where I feel like I could really be intimate with this person and I was attracted to them and they were attracted to me and I loved how they smelled and felt and everything? What would that feel like? And you let yourself feel that way. And in the same way, where if you're in a relationship, you take the time to say, how would I really like this whole thing to feel? What would it be like if I came home and I had the perfect relationship? And how would my partner talk to me? And how would they, you know, how would they be around me? And how, you know, all those kind of things. And you just let yourself feel how you would feel if those things came true. And that's partly how you create it. That's how you bring it into your life.
Because whatever you focus on and think on and put your feeling toward
right. Is
what will be brought into your life. So even if you are married and in a relationship that may be very difficult at times, would you focus in on the good things about that person?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I am so aware of what I like about my wife. It takes up so much of my consciousness that what I don't like about her is really not in my mind very much.
Oh, that's really good. I don't even look for it.
And the more I look for what I like about her, the more I like her. I just find that I see more and more. She seems more beautiful to me. She says to me sometimes, how can you still feel this attracted to me? I don't look like I did 26 years ago. But to tell you the truth, I think she looks better. I actually think she looks better. The parts that I'm looking at, I love. And maybe the parts that I could criticize and may have criticized in the past, that just looks sort of blurry to me. It's not in my focus. It's not in my vision. What I see is what I love. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm only interested in feeling good, and I'm only interested in feeling good about her and what I love about her. And I find more and more, and I appreciate her more and more for that.
And so you focus in on what's great about her, what you love about her, and that fills your consciousness.
Yes, and I'm very, very grateful. I realize how taken care of I am. And also, you know, over the years I've realized I'm not so easy to live with. I thought I was, but I'm not. And I have appreciation for her for that. And the very things that we used to fight about, her having to have everything neat and organized and me making her wrong for that for years and years, I now see as a blessing, to tell you the truth. Last week, I couldn't believe this, she spent 3 hours with me trying to sort through my fishing supplies, which I've made a total mess of for years. And every time I go fishing, it's just digging through just bags and bags of these lures that I've bought again and again because I couldn't find my old ones. And I used all of her organizational skills. She was so wonderful. She just sat there in the garage with me with this smelly stuff and helped me get it all into the right categories and everything. And it's been very, very helpful. Now, this is a total change. I would never let her near my fishing stuff. But I've come to realize that this isn't a threat to me. This is a blessing. Her organizational skills are exactly what I need, and she really helps me that way.
Okay, so many people, especially women, you know, we love intimacy. We love to cuddle. We love to be mm-hmm. close to our man.
Mm-hmm.
How can a woman achieve this with her partner if he doesn't crave that kind of closeness as well?
This is an interesting thing. With powerful partnerships, you have to learn that you put out what you want. You're sending a double message. I want this. You don't have to give it to me. I want this. You don't have to give it to me. I want this. You don't have to give it to me. So people don't know how to accept that. They're like, what do you mean I don't have to give it to you? I know what's going to happen if I don't give it to you. There's hell to pay. You're going to make me wrong. You're going to criticize me. You're going to ask me why I didn't give it to you. You're going to, you know, it's going to come up in a fight or an argument. But you have to really be committed to this. This is what I want. You don't have to do it. And I got that from my kids. They always wanted what they wanted, and a lot of what they wanted was outrageous. But I never felt like I had to give it to them, ever. And then later, when they started learning, you know, force from the adults, and they started talking to me like I had to do it. Well, you gave it to Todd. You have to give it to me. That kind of stuff. They were like little lawyers. You know, all of a sudden, the logic of their arguments was starting to make me feel like I was feeling guilty. I guess I do. Okay, well, you can have it. Then I had to be fair. All this kind of stuff happened. But that was when they came out of their power. They were only powerful for this little bit. When they were really powerful, they never were using those kind of logical arguments. And no offense to lawyers,
Right.
I didn't mean that as a slur, but I'm just saying they were just very, they had their arguments down. And once they did that, they started using force on me. They started making me feel guilty and showing me that I was being inconsistent and illogical, and I have to do this, so I did it for them. And I was like, uh-oh. But after that, I didn't feel like I used to feel, because before I would have done anything, and now I felt like I had to do something. So this is an interesting thing. It takes a while. It doesn't happen instantly. When you use force, you get very quick results. If you have a good relationship with somebody, just do something ugly to them. I guarantee you, you can have a very fast result of deteriorating the relationship, right? But when you use power, it doesn't happen fast. You have to be patient, and you have to do it again and again.
How can someone use power if a woman is craving for attention and affection, and she says, I want to be close to you, I want to cuddle with you, and he says no? What should she do with all of those needs that she has?
Well, first of all, you might want to convert those needs to wants. You think they're needs, but when you start talking about your needs, it sounds like somebody should comply with them, and then next thing you know, they're starting to feel forced, so they're not going to like that. If you can convert your needs to wants, things that you would like but you don't have to have, then you sound, first of all, less needy and less dependent,
Okay.
Because needy people are generally a pariah to other people. If you're around somebody who's very needy, you're helpful at first, but you're hoping you don't bump into them again.
So give me an example.
So here's an example. My wife used to do this. I'd be watching TV, and she would walk behind me, and she'd say, "You've already seen that." I'm thinking, why is she doing this? I'm just watching TV. I don't get any peace here. You've seen that. That's a rerun. You've already seen that one. I'm like, why are you telling me this? And then the commercial would come on, and I get sort of absorbed into the commercial. And she would say, "I just don't understand what could possibly be so fascinating about Oarsman Chevrolet. That's what I don't understand." I looked at her like, what are you doing? Why are you trashing what I'm... See what I mean? This is the kind of stuff that makes me want to go down the basement. Now, after she learned Powerful Partnership, she realized, you know what? That wasn't the truth. All that stuff I was saying was just my opinion. What's the truth underneath of that? And the truth was something she was kind of afraid to admit and embarrassed to express. But through Powerful Partnership, she realized she could say it. So she said, "Here's what it is, Jimmy. It's not that I want you to find out that that's a rerun. What I really want is for you to turn off the TV, pay attention to me, because you find me so fascinating that you just, TV doesn't hold a candle to how you feel about me, and you just want to just pay attention to me and look at me and be with me." Now, that was completely truthful. That really was what she wanted. She was just going about it the wrong way. She thought by sort of like taking an axe to my dining room set, it would make her dining room set look better or something.
Right.
You see, it doesn't work that way. You can't criticize someone into being intimate with you. You can't make somebody wrong and then have them want to give you a hug. None of that works. And if you say anything that makes the person feel like it's their fault that you're unhappy, they're blocked. It's not that they don't want to make you happy, but that kind of expression blocks their ability, and that's where the love goes away. People don't even realize it, but a lot of it is in your speaking. It's how you're talking to this person. The criticisms are just killing the person. And what happens is they don't feel like pleasing you anymore. They don't want to do what you want.
And so is it true that men don't like to be told what to do, Dr. Goldstein?
I don't think anybody likes to be told what to do. When my kids were little, I couldn't believe how often they used to say this thing. "You're not the boss of me, you know." I'd hear them all the time amongst each other. "You know, you're not the boss of me." "Well, you're not the boss of me. You're not the boss of me." It's that thing. People want their freedom. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be coerced. They don't want to be pressured. And especially after you criticize someone, they're not going to want to be. If you make somebody wrong for not being intimate, they're not going to be intimate. They're going to want to get away from you or make you wrong. It always escalates up, you see.
Right. Well, you know, I have an interesting question in the chat room. They said, "So, Dr. Goldstein, it never occurred to you that you should turn the television off?"
Nope. Never did.
Okay.
I was, you know, for me, it wasn't even personal. It was just that I'd be working for hours and hours downstairs, and I would come upstairs. I used to counsel people downstairs, and I would come upstairs, and I would just turn on the TV and sort of blotto out.
Right.
But it's not, you know, what I've found is that my wife, through Powerful Partnerships, has made herself very, very approachable. There's something about being with her that feels much more safe than it used to be. One time she said to me, why don't you want to be with me?" And I said to her, "All right, I'll tell you. I'm afraid that if I hang out with you, you're going to either criticize me, think of something for me to do that I don't particularly want to do, ask me when I'm going to do this thing that I told you I would do that I haven't done yet." You see what I mean? I'm going to be part of your endless to-do list that my even being in your presence is going to remind you of something else you need me to do. And I don't want to find out what those things are, because you're probably right and I have to do them, but I don't want to do them. And so that has completely changed. That has completely changed. What's happened is she has made being with her very, very pleasurable for me. So she's present to me without looking at me critically.
Okay.
See, I mean, if you get close to a person, the first thing they said is, "You need a haircut. You need a haircut. When are you going to get a haircut?" It's like, ugh. You see? So it's
right.
Not that she isn't right, and most of the time my wife is right. It's just that the way to turn that TV off is because you're attracted through love for the other person. And so a lot of it has to do with something changed in our dynamic that has me. I was just saying to her this weekend, we spent time together this weekend, and we were really, I said, something is really different because I have never felt so safe to be with you and to be completely present to you and not do other things, totally out of attraction. And that's what you want. We decided a long time ago that love was going to be the only legitimate motivator in our relationship. That if you're not going to do it for love, there's no point in doing it. The rest of the stuff is always hell to pay. So we don't have all these sacrifices, okay, I'll do it, or these deals, well, you did it for me, now I guess I owe it to you. We do what we do out of love. And if I do stuff for her, she knows that there's not going to be some payoff later that she owes me. She doesn't owe me anything. And vice
versa. Should a person stay in a relationship where they are not being loved and nurtured and feel like that they can't really live out their purpose and destiny?
Well, it depends on what you've tried. A lot of times, the very things that you want, you don't realize that you're actually perpetuating, and that a lot of whether you feel loved or you don't feel loved has everything to do with whether you feel like you deserve it. And it has to do with your own beliefs about yourself. And this is what we get. You know, the alignment of what we want with who we are has everything to do with our beliefs. So that if you say you want to feel loved, but you don't really believe that you deserve that, it'd be very difficult to bring that into your space. But I think you can learn a way to be, and I think you can learn a way to speak that takes the pressure off the other person. And you'd be very surprised. Sometimes inadvertently, we don't realize it, but we have our foot on the neck of our partner.
Right.
And we're saying, why don't you get up? Why don't you get up? But we have our foot on their neck, and we don't even realize it. We don't know we're doing it. We don't mean to do it. And we're upset. We're angry. We're not getting our needs met, and we're mad at them, and we attack them for it. But it can only lead to worse things. So the first step is to release the force. Stop forcing the person. Stop making them wrong if they don't do what you want. Remember, in the beginning of your relationship, you weren't manipulating anybody. You were doing what you wanted because you wanted to. And that's when it was really yummy. So you can get back to that again.
And so for people listening, you're in a state of being. You're being nice. You're being considerate. You're being loving.
Mm-hmm.
You are speaking kind words. And you are acting just very nice to the person. There's no coercion or force. It's just simply love.
And you're asking for some pretty ridiculous things, but at the same time, you're telling them they don't have to do it.
Right, because I've always believed that no person can meet all of your needs.
Right.
And so, especially your partner. And so I believe that really feeling good about yourself, you can ask for what you need, but really there are many ways that God can get your needs met through many other people. So, boy, our time is almost up, but I do want to talk about how powerful partnerships apply to other relationships such as work, children, and friends. So give us an example of how powerful partnerships apply to our relationships at work.
Well, at work you have what I call, it's not really force, but it is a structure. You might say, well, aren't they forcing you to get there at 8:30 in the morning? Isn't that force? Not really. That's structure. This is how we play the game. If you want to work at this company, we all start at 8:30. You want to work here, you have to start at 8:30. You see what I mean? So people can accept that there are certain structures within which we agree to play. But within that structure, powerful people express what they want and motivate you by their vision to have you want to do it. You let them know, you give them the freedom that they can express themselves and help you get to where you're going to go. But you also appreciate people. When you're powerful, you're just very conscious of anything that somebody does in your direction, and you appreciate them for it. When people feel appreciated, they want to please you, and they want you to win, and they work as hard as they can, and they'll do anything when they feel respected and pleased. So there's a lot within the structure that work provides where, I mean, think about how you are with your friends. One of the things that works about friends, the best friends, is that you want to help them and you want to do what they want and you want to be with them because, one, you feel good when you're with them, and, two, you don't feel like you have to. You don't owe somebody something. That's the best way to be. So when I work with companies, I help them create an atmosphere where everybody is feeling like they did when they first got there. You know, when you first get a job, you're looking forward to it, you're hopeful, you're optimistic, you want to work hard, you want to do a good job, and you want to be acknowledged for what you're doing, and you want the company to win. And I say that you can recreate those feelings again. You can get those things back, and I know that you can get them back in a relationship, even if it seems like they've been dead for years. They're all under the surface. They're all being suppressed by force. That if you lift the force up, the love is right under there and it comes back. So many people who walk away from relationships haven't tried what I'm talking about. They just haven't tried it. They may not know it, but they haven't tried it. It's not quite as hopeless as you think. I'm not saying that every person should always stay in every relationship no matter what. There are times you're being abused or it's just not really working that you got to move on, and that's the way life is. That's okay. But I am saying that there's a lot of things that you can change about yourself that make you more attractive, more approachable, and you start to draw the very thing that you want towards yourself instead of push it away from yourself by your attitude. So
really
it is something that you can learn. You actually can learn it.
Right. It's really the law of attraction, really, whatever you want, you need to put out.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard somebody say that if you want love, you need to give love first.
Mm-hmm.
If you want kindness, you need to give kindness first, and then you will reap that back in your life.
The only problem with that is, though, you cannot give to get.
Right.
So you can't give kindness and then expect kindness back, because that really sets up a more force. You see what I'm saying? It is in the giving that we receive. You do
Absolutely.
Kind things because it feels good to do them, and it helps you love the other person more to do them, but not because you're racking up some kind of a thing that you can cash in on later. Like, that's the third nice thing I did for you. Now it's your turn. You see?
Right.
That won't work. That really doesn't work.
So you believe that couples who maybe have tried professional help for their relationship and maybe feel like it didn't work, that your powerful partnerships can work for them?
Absolutely. I've had that experience. It's not like anything else they've tried is what people tell me. And it takes a little getting used to. It's not something that happens overnight. But when you get good at it, I mean, I'm just blown away. This is something I didn't think I could ever get back to, that I would feel as excited about my wife and my intimacy with her was so much more, so much deeper. And it's just grown so much since we've understood this. One of the things we found since we learned how to I didn't want to give you the impression that all you have to do is just be nice. Because if you're upset about something, if something's really bothering you, you have to have some way of expressing yourself.
Absolutely.
You can't just put, sort of icing over dog do and think this will be okay. It's not gonna. It really won't work. So I have a way of that I got from my children of showing people how they can express themselves when they're upset, so that their partner is actually engaged and willing to listen to them and not feeling threatened or made wrong or something like that. And so that makes a big difference. One of the things that Lauren and I were able to do was we got to a point where we didn't have any history. I feel like, oh, my God, when we have arguments, we're only arguing about what we're arguing about. It's not fueled by some old argument in the past that was never resolved. You really can resolve things so they never come back. It never even occurs to you to bring it up again.
Right.
So you really, it's a series. I say intimacy is what happens as a series of forgivenesses. It's based on a series of forgivenesses. You forgive the person again and again and again. And through that, you know them better. You know how to be with them a little, more accurately and adequately. And you grow closer through all the times when you had missteps and boundary violations. So if you can resolve these issues as they come up, you get closer and closer and closer that way.
Well, our time is up, Dr. Goldstein, and I want people to really get the information from you, how they can really get in contact with you, because I really believe your powerful partnership process. I know that it really works. How can people contact you? What is your website? What is your email, et cetera?
Sure. They can go to drjimgoldstein.com, or an easy way to do it is just go to www.thecouplescourse.com, The Couples Course. Either that or drjimgoldstein.com. There's a number of ways to reach me. If you do powerfulpartnerships.com, you'll still all get to the same place. but it's drjimgoldstein.com.
Well, I've read the first chapter of Dr. Goldstein's book, which is going to be coming out, I guess, next year, Dr. Goldstein,
mm-hmm,
and it's really powerful. And I just want to encourage all of the people who are listening who are in a relationship, just go to his website and get the information. I believe that God put this information in this man to really help us so that you can really get back the love and the passion and the desire that you once had for your partner. God is no respecter of person, and so that's why I really had him on the show. And I'm going to encourage you to go to his website, read his blog. He has some great information. And Dr. Goldstein, I'm just so sorry that we didn't have more time to explain your really powerful partnership.
That's okay. I really appreciate the opportunity to express myself. You know, the way I teach powerful partnerships now is in a teleseminar over 8 weeks.
Okay.
So you can find out about it at thecouplescourse.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and
thank you. Your
wife I said hello and that she's a blessed woman, and you and I will be speaking again.
You bet. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Well, wasn't that just great? That was a great interview, and I'm going to encourage you to really go to his website and really just take a look at that information. And as I always say, if there was one thing that sort of pricked your spirit tonight, that might be the missing piece of the puzzle for your relationship. Also, for people who are just joining me, I want you to make sure that you follow me on Twitter this week because I have 9 days remaining in my 21-day coaching series. And, of course, you can go to Twitter and type in Constance Arnold and just follow me because I'm just giving you some free complimentary coaching tips. And additionally, a lot of you have been asking me about my coaching services. I just want to share a little bit about what you can expect when you partner with me as your success coach. Everyone who is successful has a coach. I talked to somebody this week, and they said that they realized that they had not been as successful as they should have been because they didn't have a coach. I have about 3 coaches. I don't know what to say about that. I have a coach financially. I have a coach spiritually. I have a coach for my business. And so I just feel that it's just very, very important. So as your success coach, I will help you identify your limiting beliefs, explore areas where you feel that you've been stuck, anybody feel stuck, and assist you in developing new behavior patterns in your life. I'm going to assist you in clarifying and writing your goals so that your intention is very clear. I'm going to partner with you in designing strategic strategies and maybe small baby projects that will move you towards your dream. You know that I have over 20 years experience in counseling and coaching. I'm licensed and I'm certified, and I have coached thousands of individuals and couples and organizations during my career. And one of my clients, who is a 4-time Grammy winner, 5-time Grammy winner now, states that his life has dramatically changed because he utilized my coaching services. So if you feel led and if you think that we're a match, I know that I'm not a match for everybody. Let's partner together so that by the end of the year, you could begin the process of really making your dreams come true. Well, I just want to thank you again for joining me today. It's such a joy for my listeners to just email me and tell me how much they're enjoying the program. I'm just so blessed and honored to have you listen every week. So if you want to email me, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Or if you want to speak to me directly, 404-402-7769. And I was reading something that Wayne Dyer had written, and I just want to leave these words with you. He says that if you knew who walked beside you at all times on the path that you have chosen, you could never experience fear or doubt again. So this is Constance Arnold with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. Just saying, I pray that you have a great week this week. Remember to take small baby steps to begin to implement the change that you desire. And truly, when you change your thinking and you change your believing, miracles happen in your life. Have a great week, and God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.